The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We're celebrating the independence of our nation, which is awesome. It's exciting to know that we live in this country where we have the freedom to worship the living God as we please. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have religious freedom and liberty. And let me tell you something. Some of you may not appreciate this. I want you to understand that same freedom is given to anybody who wants to worship. Muslims included. Now, that doesn't mean that I support some of the radical things that are taking place. And I don't support the book that they follow, because in the Quran, it is very obvious that their God is not the same God that we serve. But we want and should stand for religious freedom for all people. Otherwise, ours can be taken away.
That's right.
And we also want to stand for our free speech amendments and rights to be able to speak freely. So there's a lot of things going on in this world. There's a lot of things happening. But I want you to continue to pray for our nation. Pray that God moves on behalf of the people of this nation. There's been many, for centuries, there's been prayers that have gone up for this nation. God is not casting those prayers away. In fact, I believe we're still a nation because of those prayers. It's no time to stop praying for our nation right now. I don't care what's happening. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the president that is in office. I don't care whether you agree with him or not. Pray for him. Pray for our congressmen, our senators. Look, God knows they need prayer. Pray for their salvation. Pray that God's Holy Spirit will move on the church, that we will see the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, that we see the power of God set people free. Pray for this nation. But most of all, pray for the church of Jesus Christ, because the word of God is very clear that if we will repent and turn from our wicked ways and seek the face of God, He'll hear our prayers and He will heal our land.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. I'm not giving up hope that God has a plan for this nation, that the church must rise up. The church must take its rightful place. The church must lead. And today I want to talk about the kingdom of God. And I want to talk about anointing. Anointing of kings and anointing of priests. Kings and priestly, kingly anointing and priestly anointing. These are powerful anointings. These are anointings for the body of Christ. These are anointings that are alive and well today in the earth. Anointings that we should walk in. So as we look at this morning, you can turn to 1 Kings verse 19, verse 15, or just look at it on the screen, whichever you prefer. But here's what it says. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Now, a little bit of background there. Elijah had been chased out of town by the wicked king and queen, and he was on his way back because he had regained his composure, and he had heard a word from God, and he's going back to set things straight. And God tells him to anoint a king and anoint a prophet, because this Elisha was going to take his place eventually. And he was to be anointed in that position. Now, what we're looking at here are two very important positions that of anointing in the Old Testament. Now, there was actually three that they talk about a whole lot, but this one, this prophet and priestly anointing in the New Testament is a combination. But in the Old Testament, it was king, it was prophet, and it was priest that were anointed to minister in different areas, in different realms of the kingdom of God. So here we see Elijah anointing these two men, setting them apart, and establishing them in a certain position. Now, in the Old Testament, it's really interesting. In the Old Testament, when they anointed, you know, what we do is we take a little bit of oil and we dab it on somebody when we anoint. We anoint when we pray over people for healing, because that's very scriptural. We anoint when we set people in office in the church. We anoint people when we feel that they're being called by God to go forth and to do a work. But the reality is, every believer in Jesus Christ is anointed. Amen. You're not anointed, you're in trouble.
Well, amen.
Amen? Amen. Is anybody out there?
Amen.
Okay, good. Praise God. You need the anointing of the Lord. You need to understand that you can walk in the anointing. In the Old Testament, however, they would take a flask of oil, and when the prophet came to anoint somebody, he didn't just dab you with oil, he poured it on your head. You walked away a greasy mess. Amen? But you knew, and everyone around you knew, that you had been anointed for a position. God had called you, He had set you apart, and He had given you the power and authority to walk in that position. When Elijah came and anointed the king, everybody respected and received him as the king. When Elisha was anointed as prophet, everybody recognized and respected his position as prophet, and he was going to be taking Elijah's place. There was no doubt about it. This was God's will. Now, this morning, what I want to talk to you about, it's very important that we understand that there's this priestly anointing and there's kingly anointing. Kings and priests in the body of Christ. Now, what we have to understand is that when God looks at people, He looks at them in a different fashion than man does. You remember the Old Testament. David, when David was anointed, Samuel was called by God to go and anoint a son of Jesse. He didn't know which one he was going to be the king, but he just knew that the Holy Spirit had spoken to him and said, go anoint a son of Jesse. Now, Samuel didn't really want to do this because he knew he was going to upset the king, Saul, who he had previously anointed, but God had rejected because he had rejected God. So he kind of went incognito. You know, he went there and he said, well, we're just going to go have a feast. But when he got there, he started anointing the sons of Jesse. And the first one, the oldest son, a strong, strapping young man, stood before Samuel. And Samuel said to himself, this must be the one. Just look at him. He looks like a king. But the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, don't look at the outside. I don't look at the outside like man does. I look on the inside. I look at the heart. And when he finally got to David, he must have, you know, looking at him from a natural perspective, he must have been pretty disappointed. This is the king? This young man, this kid who sleeps with sheep, this is going to be a king? What he didn't know was the heart of David. What he didn't know was that David had killed bears. David had killed lions. David had stood against all the enemies that came against his sheep. And he killed them with his bare hands, what the Bible says. Wow. What a man. But that was the heart of the king. Samuel didn't see that. All Samuel saw was the outward appearance. Let me tell you something. In the body of Christ today, just like in the world, we are looking for celebrities. We like it when a person, a pastor or an evangelist, has this charismatic personality. And if they don't, what do? Oh, that can't be a man of God. And yet, when we look at the outward appearance, we see these things that appear to be godly are not necessarily what they appear to be. Amen. What we need to do is start looking at the heart. Listen to the heart. Get to know the heart of the leaders and the people. What God chooses sometimes looks ridiculous to us. But our God is so good. You know, I was reading this little thing. It was kind of a spoof on the apostles and the disciples of Jesus. And it was as if Jesus was sending out to a management consultant team and asking them to evaluate his disciples. And this is kind of neat because I think it comes from a worldly perspective. And it says this: thank you for submitting the resume of the 12 men you have picked for managerial positions in your new organization. Talking about his disciples. All of them have now taken the battery of tests and we have run them through our computers. It is the staff's opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, educational, vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. They're the ones that we're always arguing about who is going to be next to Jesus. We would suggest that you continue your search for the persons with experience and proven capability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has no leadership skills at all. The two brothers, James and John, place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questionable attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel that it is our duty to inform you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, have radical learnings, registering high on manic depressive scores. The only one of the candidates who shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness who meets people well and has a keen business mind. He has contacts in high places and highly motivated. He's ambitious and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. I thought that was pretty interesting. If you look at things from a purely a worldly perspective, sometimes we make that same mistake in the church. We choose leaders based on what we think their ability is. We must be looking at the heart. We must allow God to be the one to choose. It doesn't make sense all the time, but it has to be right. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to make four real brief points this morning about king and priest anointing. First of all, I want you to understand that all of us are kings and priests. According to 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are chosen. That means you are the best of its kind or class. Royal is kingly, regal. So you are a kingly priest. There is precedent for this in the Old Testament as well. When Abraham rescued Lot from the kings that came and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a priest that came. His name was Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a king and priest. So it's not unheard of to have a kingly, priestly calling. These kings that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by the power of God and by Abraham. And in Genesis 14, 18, it says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Jerusalem, of Salem, which is Jerusalem, brought out bread, wine. He was the priest of God Most High." In Hebrews 17, 7, we see that Jesus is also a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He was a king and a priest. Jesus, when he first came to this earth, this is very important for us to catch this concept. Jesus came as the Lamb of God, and he was slain. But I want you to understand something. He's no longer the Lamb of God. He was the Lamb of God. He was slain for our sins. He is now the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is now our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He is now our mighty warrior.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Thank God he was the Lamb. But thank God he's the warrior too. He's warring on our behalf. You know, if Christ is king and priest, that means then that we have this king and priestly responsibility as well. Because we are called Christians, which literally means little Christ. And little Christ means anointed ones. You are little priests and kings. You are conquering. You are to go forth and conquer in this world. And you are to go forth and bless all that is conquered. Now, when we talk about conquering, we're not saying that you're going to go forth with arms, you're going to take weapons and go out and conquer. No, we're going to go out and spiritually conquer.
That's right.
We're moving in the spirit realm. We're seeing the power of God move to touch the lives of people around us. That's the kind of conquering we do. God's power is to set the captives free. That's conquering. God's power is to set you in a position so that you have authority to take control over the principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. That you can cast them down and take authority over them. That you will walk in the position that God has given you. And that you will establish blessings over the people who are in your area under your authority. What I want you to understand is that you are kings and priests in this world, no matter where you are or what you're doing. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that because some of you are called to the kingly area. Some of you are called more to the priestly area. However, it doesn't matter where you're called. You are operating in both realms on a continual basis. They are intermingled with one another. As a pastor of Bethel Worship Center, my dominant calling and gifting is in the priestly realm. But I also have responsibility in the kingly realm, in this church and in my family, in business, anything that I do outside of this. It's my responsibility to walk in the kingly. Now, when you're walking in the kingly realm, you're walking in a certain amount of authority that has been distributed to you. Is anybody getting this? Are you understanding where we're going with this? Okay. I want to stop right there because I have some more of this that I want to explain to you. But this is the reason that I stand up here every Sunday and speak a blessing over you. Because I have authority as the king over this place and as the priest over this place. Speak blessings into your life. And let me tell you something. Speaking those blessings are not just going out in the air and falling off. Those blessings go forth, and they're still going. Every Sunday, they're wrapping around this world week after week after week, and they're touching this world and touching your lives. There's power in the spoken word. There's power in the things that we say. That's why the word tells us that we have the power of life and death, to speak truth. And we speak blessing. Listen, men, I need to stop right here because I'm getting into other areas of this message. Hallelujah. So number one, we're all kings and priests. We just operate in different realms at different times. Number two, all have the same anointing. In 2 Corinthians 1, 19 through 21, it says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." So the anointing, no matter what realm you're operating in, the anointing comes from God, from the Holy. Actually, the Holy Spirit is the anointing. That's why it's so important. I preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be filled up with the Spirit of God. Because when you're filled up with the Spirit of God, you have the ability to walk in the power of God. The gifts of the Spirit are unleashed in your life. And you're able to walk on a daily basis with uncommon wisdom, uncommon ability. People are going to look at you and say, "How do you do that? How do you know that? How do you accomplish the things?" Because it's not in you. Except for the fact that the Spirit lives in you. It's not some kind of ability, human ability, that people are born with. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important that we understand we have an anointing. Anointing means the power of God. It's enduing Christians with gifts of the Holy Spirit. The word actually, the Greek word we're talking in the New Testament, anointed one, would be derived Christ. Christ was the anointed, or Christos, anointed one. In the Old Testament, it referred to as Messiah, the anointed one. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" You're not your own. The Holy Spirit is in you. You have an anointing. Activate that anointing. Do you not know you have the ability to activate the anointing in your life? Activate it. Speak to it. Use it. Cause it to come alive in you. The anointing is not something that comes and goes. It does change with the experience that you're in, the position that you're in, what you're doing. But the anointing is with you wherever you go, all the time, every day. The anointing for a kingly position is always with you. The anointing for a priestly position is always with you. And each person has a dominant place. You've been called to these places. Now, today in the church, when we're learning from the Word of God and we're operating together as the body of Christ, the gifts of the Spirit flow, we're all operating in priestly anointing. Hallelujah. I'm surrounded by priests. Praise God. Makes me want to confess. Come on. Loosen up a little bit, people. But I want to tell you something. You're going to leave this place. You're going to go out there in that world, and you're going to be expected to operate in a kingly anointing. Because you have responsibilities. You have jobs. You have positions. And God has placed you where you are so that you can make a difference in the lives of the people around you. It's not an accident. It's not an accident what has happened to you this week. It's not an accident what has happened to you in the last few weeks. God is on the throne, and all things will work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. That's our God. I know it's hard for us to sort it out when bad things happen, when things don't seem to be going the way we want them to. But God is still on the throne, and He has still promised us that it's going to work out. Just trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. I can't say anything else. Trust Him.
Yes, sir.
He's an awesome and mighty God. Now, here's what I know for a fact that is a part of our problem, and I've done a little bit of research on this as some study, and we are heavily influenced by Plato's teachings in the West. Platonic thinking, Plato was a philosopher, a classical Greek philosopher. He established an academy in Athens. It's probably the first institution of higher learning. But Platonic thinking in a nutshell is kind of like this. He put things in departments. He departmentalized people's lives. You have a spiritual life and you have a secular life. Now that's really boiling it way down. I want you to understand that. Some of you who have read or heard anything about the Gnostic Christian Gospels or Gnostic teachings, they pull heavily from Plato and his teachings. Just to give you an example, how many of you saw the Da Vinci Code? Anybody watch that? Okay. Well, the Da Vinci Code, all that junk in there, was all Gnosticism. It was a Gnostic teaching. It wasn't gospel teaching. But, you know, do with it as you will. But recognize that it's not truth. However, here's what I want you to understand is that in the West, and I have a real difficult time with this sometimes because I like departments in my life. So if you're not careful, you will walk out of this place. Here's your Christian life here at church on Sunday morning, and there's your secular life out there. And the reality is, it's not true. The Jewish people, Judaism, never taught such a thing. In fact, every aspect of life was worship, particularly work. The same word used to describe worship is the same word in the Jewish realm to describe work. Because work is worship. And worship sometimes can be work. We need to get a hold of this because sometimes you got to work up worship. It doesn't always happen. You know, I love it when I come in here on Sunday mornings and praise God, I just feel it. It feels good, and I'm going to jump up and down and shout and get excited about the Lord. I'll tell you what happens when Jerry gets up and starts running around. I get excited. Amen. Amen. That's good, Jerry. Just keep doing it. Yeah. Amen. It's good stuff. But I don't always feel that when I walk in here, when I sit down. Sometimes I have to press through into worship. And it can be work, but it's worship. And when we work, we need to recognize that that's worship as well. The Jewish culture taught that every aspect of your life was a way of worshiping God. So we have to get that, we have to get a hold of that, because it's extremely important that, yes, we're all kings and priests. We all have the same anointing, and that anointing is to be used in whatever realm we are in. And it's all about giving the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your business, your job, your occupation, whatever it is that you're in, God is on the throne. And He expects you to be an ambassador for His kingdom in all that you do. And no matter what's happening, no matter how dark it seems like it's going to become in your life, in your business, in your work area, no matter who's trying to persecute you, stand on the Word of God. Trust Him. Believe Him. You remember Joseph? Joseph with Cat, you know, he had this dream. He was a dreamer. He understood what God could do in his life and with his life. And he dreamed that God was going to use him, that he was going to cause his brothers to bow down to him. Boy, that made him mad. He even dreamed that his mother and father were going to bow down to him. And his dad said, "What? What's wrong with you, boy?" His brothers got so mad that they cast him into a pit and sold him into slavery. And wherever Joseph went, he recognized that God was with him. When he was in Potiphar's house, he walked upright and righteous before God. He was tempted by his wife, thrown into prison. When he was in prison, he changed the whole atmosphere of the prison. Do you realize that? He went into this dark, dingy, God-forsaken place, and he brought light to it. And he brought healing, and he brought the power of God into that place. And people's lives were changed in the prison. And because he was faithful, guess what? He was elevated to the most prominent place in all of Egypt, next to the Pharaoh. That's God working. Only God can do that. But he had an anointing. He walked in that anointing. He stayed with that anointing. His anointing was in the priestly realm. His anointing was in the kingly realm. And he allowed God to use him in both of those. Amen. Some of you fathers in here, God has called you to be a priest of your household and a king of your household. Not a dictator of your household. Let's make sure we've got this clear. We're talking about a godly, loving, compassionate king. Some of you are allowing the women in your lives to be spiritual heads. Stop. Rise up. Take your rightful position. Your children are depending on it. A couple weeks ago, I gave you some statistics. When the women are the spiritual head of the household, 1 in 50 children continue to go to church. When the husband is the spiritual head of the household, when he sets the example, what was it, 3/4, I think, of the children follow God and follow the teachings of the church. You have the power, the ability, men, to make a difference in our society. By leading by example, by being the king and the priest of your household. All right. Here's something I want you to understand, that people operate inside and outside of this anointing. I have a good pastor friend, Randy Patterson, who is in Gallia County. And Randy, here's the kind of anointing that he has on his life. Before he became a pastor, well, long before he became a pastor, he was into all kinds of craziness, drugs, and crazy lifestyle. God saved him and pulled him out of that stuff. And Randy started, he became a businessman. And he started business and he was thriving. And then God called him into the ministry. Well, he was doing this full-time business and he decided to go full-time into ministry. And then for a while, he was doing exactly that, what he felt like God told him to do. And then God stirred his spirit again to start a new business. So now he is operating. Now, this guy's crazy. I want you to understand this. He has two churches. He has a gun ammunition store. And he's in the process of building a firing a range. Yeah, shooting range in Gallia County. I'm telling you, he's lost it. It is a lot of work, but the anointing is there. His churches are thriving. His business is thriving. God is with him. Whatever he does, it seems like whatever he touches, it just prospers. Because the anointing, it's not Randy. If you've met Randy, you know it's not Randy. It's the anointing. He knows that. He tells everybody. It's the priestly anointing. It's the kingly anointing that God has placed him in. And he uses it, and he prospers in it. God wants the people of this church to prosper. He wants you to prosper in all that you do. He wants you to rise up and be the heads in this community, in this 50-mile radius. He wants you to own the businesses. Look, I don't know why, but when Subway was for sale. Why didn't some of you buy it? I wanted to. But God's told me I have to be careful because I have a one-track mind, and if I'm not careful, I'll get off track of the church. That's right. Amen. We have subs every Sunday. Think beyond yourself and your circumstance and your situation. God wants to raise you up. He wants you. He wants Bethel Worship Center to rule and reign in this area. You know, some people thought, oh, Subway can't make it here. It's one of the most prosperous stores Subway has. It's crazy. God is able. I believe Christians own it. Thank God for that. Think about it, people. Think about opportunities that God might be giving you. Open your eyes and your mind to what God wants to do. I want you to be successful in the priestly realm, in this church, in the operation of this church. I want you to rise up and be used and operate in your anointing. I want you to be successful in your kingly anointing. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you put your hands to, shall prosper. I hope you believe that because I do. Amen. You know, we have precedent for this kind of anointing. Apostle Paul, according to Acts, was a tent maker. Now, some people believe that that means that he was actually a tallit maker or a prayer shawl maker. They found some evidence for that. But regardless, he worked, he supported himself, he did things, and yet he planted churches, he spoke into people's lives, he operated in these realms. Wherever he went, he allowed the anointing to flow through him with whatever he was doing. Right. Y'all want to tell you something, the people that bought, whether they were prayer shawls or tents from the Apostle Paul, were blessed. Because he was sitting around praying over those things, I'm sure. He was sitting around with Aquila and Priscilla and talking about the power of God and releasing the power of God and speaking positive things over those items that he was selling. That's the kind of person he was. All are kings. All have the same anointing. All are called but appointed to a different mountain or a different area. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, talking about Jesus, has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I have mentioned to you before the mountains, the seven mountains of culture. Bill Bright, Lauren Cunningham met in the 70s, and God gave them both the same vision. They didn't know what to call it. It's been called different things through the years. most of the people that I know call it the seven mountains of culture. And if you look at this, you'll see these mountains of culture are business, government, family, religion, media, education, and entertainment. What has happened for the most part in our world is that the church has given up the power and authority in most of these areas. We have retreated back into the family and the religious area, and we're about to lose them. However, in the recent years, 10, 15 years, God has been raising up people. I don't know if you've noticed that there's a lot more Christian films. That's been happening because God's raising people up in the media and entertainment area. The business area. God desires to raise up godly men and women in the business area to make money. And lots of it. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not money. To prosper. How would you be in, you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers? As long as we get things in order, it's okay. It's all right. Government, my God, we know that we need godly men and women in government. We've got to get things straightened out. We've got to get rid of these people that are lying to us over and over, telling us what we want to hear. And then when they get in there, they do nothing to change the situation. Family, focus. Keep your focus on your family. Man, I just told you what I believe needs to happen. Rise up. Be the leaders. Lead by example. Let your children see you pray. Let your children see you read your Bible. Let your children see you be the example that you're supposed to be toward your wife and other people. Your children will respect you, and they will do what you tell them to do. What was that quote a couple weeks ago? Children love their mother, but they follow their father. And they do. Education. Well, we know we need something done with education. I don't even need to go there right now, but there's so much that needs to take place in that realm. These, the religion, family, I believe, are priestly and kingly, but most of these are kingly anointings that takes priests of God to operate in. And that's why he's calling you. He's calling the body of Christ. You know what we have this morning? We have a young man with us who is a new Marine, Andrew Stobert. Wave at everybody, Andrew. He was telling us out there that, you know, they go to church weekly, set an example, establish these young men on a good, solid, biblical basis. I'm thankful for that. Thank God. I'm sometimes amazed that they're still doing that. But praise God. Pray for him. He is in a position that he needs your prayers so that he can operate as the king and priest that God has called him to be. Because he can make a difference. Wherever he goes, he can make a huge difference. Pray for his safety. Pray for the peace of God around him. Pray that God will use him and minister through him. The last thing I want to talk to you about this morning. All are kings and priests. All have the same anointing. All are called or anointed, but appointed to different mountains. And the last thing is, all will encounter opposition. You know, sometimes we have this idea that, you know, if God tells me to do it, it's going to be easy. That's crazy. God tells you to do it, the enemy is going to mount up and try to stop you. The opposition that you are feeling right now is coming from the enemy who's trying to keep you from getting your breakthrough. He's trying to tell you that that son or daughter is not going to come to the Lord, is not going to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to set them free. He's trying to tell you that your financial situation you're not going to have a breakthrough. You need to stand. He's trying to tell you that that relationship or that job that you have or had was your answer. And it's not. It's the power of God. It's the strength of God. It's God telling you, hold on, stand, do all that you can. Put on the armor of God and do all you can to stand, therefore. 1 Peter 4:12 says this, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Don't think that it's strange that you're tested. Don't think that it's strange that these difficulties are coming up on you, that they're trying to stop you, that the enemy wants to put a stop to all that you do. Don't think it's strange. It's going to happen to every one of us. Every time God speaks to me to take a step of faith and move out in a new direction, the enemy is always there, whispering in my ear. You don't want to do that. That's going to take a lot of work. That's what he tells me anymore. You know? He used to tell me, oh, you should be afraid. He knows better than that anymore. He just says, look at all the work that's going to have to take place. Now I'm getting lazy. I don't want to get lazy. I want to move forward with God. It's time for us to do some new things around here. Accomplish some new things. God's going to shake this place. God's going to stir us. He's going to move us in some new directions. Question is, are you going to be on board? Are you ready to go? In the 1950s, George Reeves was the first Superman. Anybody in here remember seeing Superman back then? I know you're going to be telling your age, I know. But or you saw some of the reruns of that, yes. anyhow, celebrities were not quite what they are today on TV and stuff. So he would have to travel around for promotions like at store openings and, just all kinds of different things, fairs and that kind of thing. And every time he did, lots of times they wanted him to dress up in his Superman costume. He didn't like that much. But when he did, little kids would come up to him because they wanted to see if he was really super. And they'd kick him. And they'd throw rocks at him. But one time, he was at this department store, and a kid came with his dad's Colt 45 because he wanted to see if the bullets would bounce off from Superman's chest like they do on TV. Well, he was able to talk the kid out of it and get the gun away from him. But from that time on, he never dressed up as Superman again. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You cannot hide from the enemy. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you made a commitment and you stand, there's a big target on you. You're walking around with this huge target that says, shoot me. Throw your fiery darts. Throw all you've got at me. And the only way that you can stand this is if you have the armor of God and a shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God and hearing and hearing the word of God and hearing and hearing. You've got to repeat the word of God to yourself over and over and over. Meditate on that word if you're going to stand. My little bit of preaching up here on Sunday morning is not going to do it for you. You've got to have it in your heart. It's got to be instilled within you. You've got to recognize that the enemy is after you and he's going to try to stop you. And no matter, I'm telling you, the bigger the task that God gives you, the more opposition you're going to have. I want you to think about something. Midnight is God's special time to show up. No, he sometimes waits until midnight. It's 11:59 and you don't have a breakthrough. And it looks like all hope is lost. And all of a sudden, boom, God shows up. Do you know that the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, their freedom came at midnight? The destroyer passed over, people died, and Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron in and said, get out of here at midnight, the stroke of midnight. 11:59, they were still slaves. At midnight, they were free. And not only were they free, but God told them, go to those Egyptians and plunder them. Ask for anything you want, and they'll give it to you. You know why he did that? Because the Egyptians had stolen from the Hebrews. The Hebrews came in there, and they became a wealthy, powerful group of people. And Pharaoh became afraid of them. And because of his fear, they were put into slavery and everything was stolen from them. God gave them back everything that was stolen from them. Isn't that incredible? At the stroke of midnight. Some of you are 11:59 right now in your life. It's 11:59. You're in prison like Paul and Silas. They were in prison. What? Paul asked God a couple of times, I want to go to Asia and preach. And God said, no, it's not the time. He wouldn't let. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. And all of a sudden, Paul has this dream. And a man appears to him from Macedonia and says, come and help us. So Paul goes. He takes that as a sign that God wants him to go to Macedonia, and he goes to Macedonia, and when he gets there, he looks around. He doesn't see any man, but he sees a group of women that are down by the river having a prayer meeting. So he goes down there, and he preaches to them, and they get saved. And the power of God begins to move. And Paul starts walking around preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the enemy shows up with a fortune teller. It has the spirit of Python on her. And Paul gets sick and tired of that oppressive spirit, and he casts it out in the name of Jesus. And when he does, those who owned him were very powerful people, owned her were very powerful people. And they had him thrown into prison. He and Silas. Now remember, he had a call of God. He went to a powerful prayer meeting where people were saved and set free. Who knows what was happening down there by the river? Power. And now he's thrown into prison. He still hasn't found the man that was calling him in that dream. He's in prison. He and Silas are in prison. It's late at night. It's 11:59. And they decide, we don't care what's happening. We're going to praise the Lord. And they start singing and praising the Lord, giving him glory and honor at stroke of midnight. Guess what happened? The place shook with an earthquake. All the prisoners were set free. And Paul and Silas was released from that place. And guess who they came in contact with? After all that oppression, after all that nonsense, the man, I believe, this is my own interpretation, the man that was calling them to come to help, the Philippian jailer, who fell down on his face before them and said, "What must I do to be saved?" We have this attitude that it's all going to be easy just because God says go do it. It's not. It's difficult. Prepare yourself. Be ready. Put on the whole armor of God. Go forth knowing that there's going to be some opposition. But in that opposition, the greater the opposition, the greater the deliverance and the greater the power that is released in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will move because you stand against the opposition. There's going to be. But you have the anointing. You have the anointing to be a king and a priest. You have the anointing in your life to accomplish the things God has called you to accomplish. Stand with me this morning.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.